As we have gathered together to give thanks to the Lord this morning, speak on and preach on Psalm 100. Psalm 100. So hear now the Word of God. This is Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So ends our reading of God's word. Let us once again bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this psalm, a psalm for giving thanks. And as we come now, Lord, before you to give you thanks for all that you have done, may we, Lord, be taught by this psalm. And may you inscribe its truth upon our hearts and minds. And may you, Father, bless my mind and my mouth that it may think and speak clearly this morning. It is the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, it is Thanksgiving. And although it's a holiday that we have to kind of stop and spend time with family and eat some wonderful food and thank the Lord for what he has done for us. Some of us may be anticipating tomorrow, which is when all the deals start for the Christmas season approaching. And, you know, for many years it was midnight on Friday morning is when stores would open and there'd be long lines forming and people would run in and get a great deal. I read an article this week of something that's called the Black Friday creep. And it means that the time the Black Friday officially starts is no longer midnight on Friday morning. It's been creeping steadily further into Thursday. And some stores will be opening at 6 p.m. tonight to start their deals. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a great deal. It appeals to my Scottish heritage. But when we consider what are we saying as a society when such a day, such a holiday as this, one that's set aside for giving thanks to God for what he has given to us, what are we saying when we start encroaching upon it so that we could line our pocketbooks? I'm speaking of the companies that opened their doors earlier. That people will stand in line earlier and earlier on Thursday and take away time from families and from even giving thanks to God as this holiday is meant to be. It shows an increasing lack of thankfulness for what we have been given. An increasing lack of thankfulness for what God has done. Instead of looking at, well, what more can I get? And so as we stop and we think about what God has done and we stop and we give thanks for God and who he is, as we look at this psalm, the theme that we'll be looking at is, let us give thanks to the Lord simply because he is God and he is good. Let us give thanks to the Lord for he is God and is good. The first point we'll be looking at is give thanks to the Lord and praise his name. Secondly, give thanks to the Lord for he is God. And lastly, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. So first, I'll give thanks to the Lord and praise his name. And we see this at the beginning of this psalm, even beginning with the very title of this psalm. And also in verses 1 and 2 and in verse 4. The title of this psalm, which is in the Hebrew, is said, titled a psalm for specifically giving thanks. This is why this psalm was written, so that we might give thanks to the Lord. And then as this psalm opens up, Just make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Then also verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. These words that are translated as make a joyful noise, serve, come, enter, give thanks, bless. They're all commands. They're all in the imperative. They're commands. The earth, whole earth is being called and commanded to make a joyful noise before God, to serve Him. Or this word could be translated as worshiping Him. Serve Him, worship Him, come, enter, give thanks, bless. But before we think that, well, if these are commands, kind of puts a damper on the mood of the attitude that we're to have. We're just following orders. But as we consider that, are these really commands that are burdensome? To give thanks to God, to serve Him, to come into His presence, to enter into His presence, to bless Him, and to praise Him. Are those burdensome commands? Are they toilsome? As stores are opening earlier to give good deals for the Christmas holiday, think about those days when you have young children in your life, or you can remember back when you were a young child and you wake up on Christmas morning and there are gifts there that are wrapped beautifully under the tree for you. Now, was it a burden if your parents had to say to you, open your gift? Go, open that gift. Open it now. That's not a burdensome command. The child will do it gladly and will run and rip open that present to receive the gift that is there. That's the same light that these commands are given to us. Enter into God's presence. Make a joyful noise before Him. Come, bless His name. And so, brothers and sisters, let us heed this command. Let us joyfully run into God's presence, giving thanks and blessing His name. This psalm, after commanding us in this way, also gives us two reasons why we should do this. It doesn't leave us with the imperative, but gives us the reason why. Why should we do this? Why is this commanded? The first reason is in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is God. That is the first reason. We're to enter into His presence, making a joyful noise, blessing His name, because He is God. That is further broken down into two points. First of all, it is He who made us, and we are His. I believe this references God as our Creator. He is the one who has made us, as some of us have given thanks for God today during our time of prayer, thanking Him for how He created the world, what He has done, the work of His hands that we can see. And as our Creator, He owns us. Each and every single human being on the face of this planet is owned by God. He has made us. He has made us. Our society might crowd against this, although God does, in a real sense, own them because He has created us. In a similar way that, as we have copyright laws and ideas and things that we write, or maybe even patents that are that companies own of things that they design or invent, there is an ownership that we naturally recognize that someone has over something that they have created, something that they have made. And so too, God is our Creator, and He owns us. But not only is God our Creator, we are His people in the sheep of His pasture. This line has with it, or contains in it, strong covenantal language, speaking of God as shepherd, His people as His sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep know My voice, and they follow Me." This is language that God is using. He has referenced Himself as the Creator, so we're to give thanks for Him as Creator, but also as our Redeemer, the Redeemer of His people. He is our shepherd. He has bought us through the blood of Jesus Christ, those that have faith in Christ. So as His people, God doubly owns us. He is our Creator and He is also our Redeemer. And because of this, we are called to make a joyful noise. We are called to bless His name, to worship Him with gladness, and to come into His presence with singing, because He is our Creator. He has given us life. And He is our Redeemer. He has given us new life in Jesus Christ. So let us give thanks to God, who is our Creator and Redeemer. But there is a second reason also that we're to make a joyful noise, to worship, to serve, to come and enter, to give thanks and bless. And that is in verse 5. For the Lord is good. See, not only is the Lord God, the Creator and Redeemer, He is good. And so we're to give thanks. And the way in which God is good that is referenced here in this psalm is because His steadfast love continues forever and His faithfulness to all generations. These are parallel lines that are really two sides of the same coin, speaking of God's faithfulness, His steadfastness, that steadfast love endures forever, is that covenant faithfulness, that covenant love that God has. He has made specific promises to His people, and He will never change. He will never not fulfill those promises. We can read through the pages of Scripture in the Old Testament and seeing how those promises were fulfilled in the days of old. And it gives us confidence and assurance of the great promises that He has made us that are yet to be fulfilled, of Christ returning, of Him making all things new, of Him finally, completely and totally removing all wickedness. Those promises will endure. His steadfast love endures forever. And His faithfulness to all generations. In short, God never changes. God never changes. And for this reason, we are called to enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, to give thanks to Him, and to bless His name, who He is, His character, to bless God, to exalt Him, to extol Him. Why should we give thanks? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why should we give thanks? Because He'll never change. We have a term for political candidates who keep changing their mind on positions. They're called wafflers. They never take a hard stance on something. They'll change whichever way the wind blows. They will change their mind and change their opinion. Imagine if you woke up one morning and God decided that He didn't like the laws of gravity and He was going to change them. What if you woke up one morning and God decided, well, I don't really like the fact that oxygen is in the air, so I'm just going to remove it. What if you woke up and God decided, well, I've decided that despite what I said in Jesus Christ fulfilling all these things, I'm going to change my mind. God will never change. He never changes. What He says He will do, He will always do. The laws that He has put in place, He will always maintain, and they will remain faithful. That is why we can count on the fact that the sun will rise each morning. Not because it has continued to happen each day throughout the history, but because God has put this law into place, and He will not change His mind until when He says that last great day comes, He will make all things new. So we can count on the sun continuing to rise, the earth continuing to go around the sun. We can give thanks because God never changes. We can give thanks because He will never wake up one day and decide that He wants to start a new plan of salvation. He will maintain His faithfulness. His steadfast love endures forever. He has given us a way of salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ. And it will never change. So let us give thanks, for God is faithful. As we close, I'd like to read a portion of from the New Testament, a couple of scripture passages. First of all, from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul says this, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And as we consider, you know, Paul kind of glosses over between abundance and need there, what happened in his life and what he endured. And keep in mind, as I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that what Paul said there of being content in all circumstances, consider that as we read this list that Paul gives the Corinthians. Here he says, beginning in verse 23, he's defending his apostleship. He says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus or less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant?" And yet, all those situations, Paul said he could be content. And why? Because of Him who strengthens him. What came down for Paul was the fact that God is who He is. He is the Creator and Redeemer. He is faithful to what He has said He would do. He will be with us, and He will keep that promise. And so, brothers and sisters, as we stop and we celebrate and we give thanks to God, let us boil it all down to the simple fact of who God is, what He has done, what He has promised He will do, and the faithfulness that He has clearly exhibited throughout history. He will maintain and keep those promises, and He will never fail. He will never change His mind. Amen. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are God. And we thank You, Lord, that You are good. You have created us, You have given us life, and You, by Your grace, have redeemed us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And You, Lord, You are good. You maintain Your promises. You never go back on Your word. There is not one thing that You have said that You will do that You will not do. There is not one thing that You said You will not do that You will change Your mind and then do. You are always consistent. Your yes is yes and Your no is no. And we thank You, Lord, for that great faithfulness that You clearly exhibit. And as we stop and we thank You for all the great benefits and blessings that You have given to us, may we not forget just to thank You for who You are. You are God, and You are good. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us turn now to this psalm and sing Psalm 100, Selection A.